I usually open up with a familiar greeting, and that is to give our honor, praise, and thanks to God, to our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who have saw fit that once again this day I may stand before his little flock and by his spirits impart some of his truths that are taught in his gospel. For truly he has turned the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, and as the scripture records, the just shall live by faith. Amen. You know, I'm so grateful that the little Brentwood Church would have me back, and I'm thankful, and I give all praise to God. There's been just thinking about today and some of the prayers requests, and to hear the brothers opening prayer, I'm reminded of the message that God does not make mistakes, because the message that I was tempted to preach on is in relation to what we've been hearing. That's why I say we have a blessed assurance. That's one of the songs that I requested at the end. Well, when I think about, you know, I had retired from my job, and then they called me back, and I went back for a second time, and I was young and I seen death as, you know, it's appointed to die, for man to die. So I seen people dying, but it seemed like now that I'm in my mid-50s and older, it seemed like it's becoming more regular and more common in my life. And when I went back to the job, I seen so many people that are kind of confused and don't have that hope, that blessed hope that we old Baptists understand the scripture to teach it, and that is in the resurrection. And this is what we should be, this is what the scripture and what our Lord tells us. But before I get to that passage of scripture, if y'all have your Bibles handy, I'm gonna start reading from the Corinthian letter, the first Corinthian, starting around the 12th verse. But I just want to point out some things. As the brother in Denton, Brother Vernon Johnson, I like to say, and I concur and I agree with him, is that when you see Old Baptist mourning as opposed to any other denomination or religion, we mourn with hope. We miss the fellowship. We desire all these beautiful blessings that family brings to us in our lives that God has put. But there's a greater equation to this, to God's mercy, and he has bestowed upon us, and that is in the resurrection. And so that when I see individuals, like I say, I've had a lot of suffering and death in my life, and I've seen a lot. But now, as I study the scriptures and read and meditate in the Word of God, I understand that Jesus said that I am the resurrection and the life. Amen. You know. So with that, I'm gonna start reading with that. I'm gonna start with the 12th verse. This is Apostle Paul speaking to the Corinthian church. And notice, it's something about when the apostle speaks. I can't help but think about the things that we do once we understand grace, how we try to drag in some of our indoctrinations and our beliefs into the church of grace, but it's the grace that no longer works. And so Paul is speaking to some of his young Jewish fellows that are now in the church of Corinth, and that understand grace and that have submitted to the righteousness of Jesus Christ. But he goes on to teach them some things. That this is what the scripture is for. It's a thorough furnisher, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. He goes on and says in the 12th chapter, he said, now if Christ is preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? You know, in the Jewish sect, in the Old Testament, when John the Baptist came preaching the kingdom of God, and then a forerunner to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, there were some that they called the Sadducees that believed that there was no resurrection. And there was another sect of the Jewish called the Pharisees who believed that they monopolized through legalism and that everything must come through Jerusalem, or it must come through the Jews, because all the oracles and the laws was given unto the Israelites. But Paul is saying something totally different here, because he's saying what our Lord said, I am the resurrection and the life. And he goes on, he says that, how then that there's some, that he said, you among you, that there is no resurrection of the dead. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. Turn with me to John, I think it's John around the 4th chapter, 14th verse, in the book of John, the Gospel of John. He goes on to say, Jesus goes on to say, about talking about two resurrections here. One is resurrecting us spiritually from the dead, alienated sinners. And then the second one, he goes on in John 4 and 14. He says that, but whosoever drinketh this water that I should give you shall never thirst, but the water that I should give you shall be in him a well of water springing forth. Just a second. I think it is John 11 and 25. Excuse me, 11 and 25. John 11, 25. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? This is what John was telling Martha as he came when Lazarus was dead, and she said that if he would have arrived a little earlier, Lazarus might be still alive. But Jesus explained it to her that he is the resurrection and that he is the life. And he goes on, so this is what we, as old Baptists, we have this blessed assurance that we sing about, that we rely on, and that we rely on our Lord and Savior, this blessed assurance. He said, and if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is vain, and your faith is in vain. Yea, and we found false witness of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be the dead rise not. You see, again, like I said, saints, one thing I'm convinced of is our blessed assurance. I rest in this. This is a hope that's an anchor to the soul. He even gave us the earnest spirit of promise, the Holy Spirit. So this is telling us, this is comforting us in this time of need. We go on to suffer the death, the corporeal death, unless our Lord come back, as we stand. But it is appointed to us to die. But we have a great hope in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because he is the resurrection. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is the same power that will raise us one day in heaven and immortal, and put us in heaven and immortal glory. He says that when he raised not up, so be it that the dead rise not. He said, for if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. Now understand, there when Christ was on the heading to the cross in the third hour of the day, from the third to the sixth hour, at Golgotha, the whole earth turned dark. And from the sixth to the ninth hour, Christ gave up the ghost, and the Father was pleased, and he accepted him. And then when they went back, Mary went to find him, he was not there. He has resurrected. Two angels said that he's a resurrected. So we have eyewitnesses of the Lord's disciples and the apostles that Christ has raised, and he is at the right hand of the Father, a perpetuation for our sins. He forever making intercession. He is our eternal high priest. We have such a great hope and such a great reliance and such by faith in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We know that one day this mortal shall take on him, this mortal shall take on immortality. But Paul, he gonna bear this out if you bear with me as I go on to read further into this chapter. As he said, if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye, and yet in your sins. You see, when I come amongst God's old Baptists, they singing the songs of Zion. They're not coming here to be motivated, to be inspired by man, but they are coming here because they have a blessed assurance. They're coming to give honor, praise, and thanks to God the Father, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is why we get up in spite of all the obstacles in our way, in spite of all the transitory cares and worries of this earth. It doesn't bother us because we understand. And this is how do we gain understanding? Through the eyes of Scripture. It brings immortality and life to life. So when we understand that our great Lord has saved us in eternal, and has gave us a great promise that one day we will be with him, and not only be heirs, but joint heirs. Again, as I told some, I heard some elders say that when they get to heaven, they want to see their loved ones, they want to be able to mingle with them. But what the Scripture teaches us is that we heirs and joint heirs with Christ. That this magnificence of God and all that he has, will one day we'll be with him. And this is a bliss that we cannot comprehend on this side of eternity. And he goes on to say, and if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain, yet ye are yet in your sins. He said, then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. You see, those that went before us, those that gone on, I've been, I've seen mom and dad go on at a young age. And I used to hear false teachers and false people get behind the pulpit and said if they didn't do this prerequisite of things, they didn't accept Christ, they didn't baptize, and they didn't believe, and they didn't do such and such things as they do in other orders, that they're not in heaven. But I remember my mom, she was a lady that wasn't well learned. But I could feel the presence of, she was insisting on that we know this Jesus. She knew this Jesus personally. And she didn't know it through theology. She didn't know it through some pious teaching of some man. She had a personal relationship with God. Because Christ transcends all. And that's why I'm convinced, I'm persuaded that my mom is ever to be with the Lord. Because she said things that the scripture bears out. But she had to get this knowledge through the Holy Spirit. She had to get this knowledge through Jesus Christ. And this is not disparaging being intellectually sound and knowledgeable of the word and studying and showing and to show thyself approved. A workman need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word. This is not disparaging anything like that. The more you desire to know the word of God, the more you draw nigh to him, he draw nigh to you. This is what we're saying. This is not, but I'm here to say that there's a lot of the Lord's people that perish from lack of knowledge, that has a zeal, but not according to knowledge. And if they are in Jesus, then I can say with confidence, and this is that they are resting with him in heaven and immortal glory. You know, I tell people that there's a difference between rest and sleep. So many people, when you're working as much as we do, and you're industrial, as like I say, the Primitive Baptist, you find out that we are always on the go, doing something or another, whether it's charity for others or reaching out to others, or as the sisters and brothers have said today, you know, they got so much to do around this time of the season. We're always busy. And so sometimes you find yourself, no, that's sleep. But do you want rest? We rest in Jesus Christ. We rest in his blessed assurance. We rest that one day this mortal will take on immortality. This is where we rest. This is where we get. It's a difference in resting. See, the Primitive Baptist has a unique understanding. And I was telling the brother earlier that I didn't know no Primitive Baptist. Some of them was raised that way. And some from where I'm at was raised Primitive Baptist all their life. But I didn't know. But I'm convinced now that they have a unique understanding, is that Jesus said, come ye all that are weak and heavy laden and take my yoke upon you and I will give you rest. It's a difference between rest and sleep. You can sleep, you can nod off, you can sleep. It's a lot of people in the workforce right now. They're just sleeping and on the go. They don't have the rest. The rest is in Jesus Christ. Saint. The rest is him. And this is why I was saying that why we can be comforted. He said when he left, he would send a comforter. And this is what we comforted. When I hear the stories and the prayer of request of the loved ones going on and we sorrowing all this time of year, I just witnessed a couple of deaths of close people that at the job I was at. And people, and it ministers questions, you see. But a lot of people don't have questions because we can't give that blessed assurance. It's found in Jesus Christ. And that's why he can say that if they that also which are falling asleep in Christ are perished. He's saying that if it be not for the resurrection, then what's the point of me standing here? What's the point of y'all coming here? But y'all, we come and stand. I come to preach. Y'all come to listen. Y'all come to praise y'all God as well as we praise our God because what he have done, this great work he have wrought in us. It's we have hope in the resurrection. He have put down the blessed, the earnest spirit of promise. He have gave us the blessed assurances that only through understanding Jesus Christ and drawing nigh to him that we can obtain to. He said, if this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all men most miserable. If that's all we have is just to come, if you look at your television sometimes and or get on the radio and listen to some of the people outside the old Baptist, they preach a lot of motivational speeches, a lot of good benevolent talking, and a lot of great orated stances. But they don't have that simple, basic understanding that we have hope in the resurrection. We have hope and faith in Jesus Christ, is that he was raised from that grave, and that he is at the right hand of the Father forever making intercessions, and that he is the firstborn of many brethren. And he goes on and says, he said, but now is Christ risen from the dead and before the first fruits of them that slept. You see, he the first fruits of the dead. When we think about the incident with Lazarus, we may be mindful that Lazarus died twice in the physical. Jesus raised him the first time, and then he died again. But our Lord is unique that he only died once, and he paid the sin debt. The Bible said he had made him to be sin for us, though he knew no sin, that we may be made the righteousness of God in him. Jesus paid our sin debt. This is something that we couldn't do. And he raised us up and with a small still voice in the new birth. And this is how we're born. This is why we crave spiritual food. This is why we desire spiritual food, because the spirit is of the Lord. He said, in my flesh that dwells no good thing. He goes on to say, he said, but now the Christ risen from the dead and became the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of death. Turn and look back with Romans 6. Around the fourth chapter, he said, and this is what the last time I stood before God's flock, I was attempting to kind of convey this of what I believe is like to be buried in Christ, in baptism, baptized in Christ. He said, therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into the death, that like as Christ is raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. You see, being buried and baptized in Christ in his death, we have newness of life. We have a new walk. We're no longer under the bondage of sin. We're in the presence of it. As the Apostle Paul said, I know that in me, that's in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. He said, for if we have been planted together in his likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. He said, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. So we're not servants of sin. And again, and when you continue to look at the world and religious sects and how they do things, all we end up coming up with is that these people is in a sad state, because they have to realize that Jesus done all things and done all things well. That our hope is in the resurrection. These mortal bodies are temporal, and praise God for them. And they are the temple of God, and we should do everything we can to protect them. But at the same time, he has us a new glorified body that awaits us. He has no flesh and blood can enter into this place where he now resides. He said, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. You see, Adam was the federal head of the sinful man. Christ is sometimes called a second Adam. He's the federal head of all the spiritual. That in him that dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, that all the he's the Father of light, that all the lights that come down that shines through him, that anything, there's no such thing as any blessings outside of Jesus Christ, you know. That, and he goes on to say, for as Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. How much more, saints, how much desirous we are to know these things and to rest in these things. Again, I say there's a difference between rest and sleep. There's a rest in Jesus Christ. I know from my own personal experience, I know that this world, and I believe that the genesis of all the immorality and the way it sometimes it seems like our country is spiraling out of control with this moral issue, I think the genesis is because they, as the heathen say, let's eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow is not promised. They have no hope in the resurrection. If this was all about this, like we like Paul said, I'm most man, most miserable. Why would I stand here and without the blessed assurance? But you understand, it's nothing we could do to generate this assurance. This has had to come by Jesus Christ, through the faith in Jesus Christ. He gives us this. He teaches us. We sit at the feet of Jesus Christ. We learn from the feet of Jesus Christ. It's by grace you are saved, and that not of yourself. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any should boast. So the good news is that that's what the gospel is. The good news is that Jesus have redeemed all that the Father gave him. He said, and I should not cast out any. So Jesus has redeemed us. But there's a walk and a timely understanding and a timely relationship and personal issues that sometimes we get blurred in the walk of life. We put emphasis. Paul said on the time, to, you know, Paul was he was single, and he said the difference between a marriage and single, sometimes the marriage takes precedent over the works of God. Well, he was saying that a marriage is a beautiful thing, but he's saying sometimes we get blurred, we get the lines blurred. But when we put our focus in Jesus Christ and we continue to look to him and understand that one day this mortal will take on immortality. He goes on saying, he said, but every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming, then come at the end when he shall deliver up the kingdom of God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and authority and power. For he must reign till he had put all the enemies at his feet. You see, like I was telling you about these enemies, the sister asked me about the devil, the flesh, and the world. There's one last great enemy that we spoke of today. That we, if not for Christ, I can tell you, it would be a fearful enemy, and it's called death. It would be a fearful, but Christ has conquered death. He has conquered death, the hell, and the grave. And we, likewise, are in Christ. Thus, this last enemy is still residing around here on earth. This last enemy until God deliver up the kingdom, as spoken of in the Thessalonian, 4th Thessalonian, of how we would ever be caught up with him in the air. All this eschatology and false belief that Jesus is coming day and one day and going to set up a reign and reign back in Jerusalem. And I tell you, Satan is confusing. I mean, he's the author of confusion. He's definitely that, you know. And I don't try to creep in politics with religion, but when America recognized Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, here we go. Oh, this is some prophecy. Look, we don't have to worry about whether we understand what that means, the significance of this or that. All we know is that we trust in Jesus Christ. Amen. All we rely on Jesus Christ, and we rest in Jesus Christ, and we abide in Christ. He said, abide in me. And that, thus, let them, the world, sort through all the end time prophecies that, and furthermore, it's been my understanding that I have to have an understanding of the scripture from just about cover to cover before I can start going to Revelation trying to understand. A lot of the prophecies was fulfilled. A lot of the things that the book of Revelation is spoken in sign language, by the way, and the scripture interpret the scripture. So these people that think that they can open up this book and magically figure out God's way, he said, my ways are not your ways, nor are my thoughts your thoughts. So as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways and yours and my thoughts and yours. So may we be ever mindful that our God is magnificent. He's pathfinding now. But this is where faith comes in. This is where our trust comes in. We rely, it's by grace. We just give it to Jesus Christ. Give it, and then take his yoke upon you and learn of him, for he's meek and lowly. This rest, we can have in times right now. We can have this rest that we rejoice, and we can sit in, as we sit here today and listen to the sounds of the gospel. We can rest in this sound because, you know what? We sing the song of Zion. We sing from a victorious point of view. We sing victory in Jesus. Victory is in Jesus. We're not singing, as the world say, trying to work out our own salvation, because the Bible said, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it's both God to give the want and the will to do of his good pleasure. So God is in everything. You know, as one elder said one time, me and God is in a partnership. He do all the saving, I do all the sinning. That's about the size of it. It's no way we could do anything outside of Jesus Christ that's pleasing to God. Because faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So we must rely totally on Jesus Christ, and it's by grace. And as me and the brother were talking, as I walk further and further and press further and further into the visible militant kingdom of God, I realize something, that everything I do is by grace. It's grace I stand before you. It's great. It's nothing, you know. I try to think of all kind of ways not to stand and preach and do it, but the Lord said, press on. It's by his grace. And he goes on, he said, then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and authority and power. For he must reign till he had put all enemies under his feet. And like I said, the last enemy is death. He didn't put all the enemies, he didn't conquer it all. He said, the last enemy shall be destroyed is death. So death's going to rear its head, saints, at every junction till our Lord come and call the church up in the air to ever be with him. Death is going to always be in our mind, on our mind. We're going to see it. We're going to experience in around us, in our environments, but it should minister questions. It should, you know, I think it's one scripture that says better to go in the house of mourning than the house of glee. You know, too many people are trying to be entertained and persuaded by all things that temporal and that perishes away. But death is not going nowhere. But Jesus have conquered it. He have put it under his feet. And he goes on, he said, for he had put all things under his feet. But when he said all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is expected, which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him, and that put all things unto him, that God may be all in all. Else what shall they do which are baptized for the dead? If the dead are not rise, that not rise at all, why are they then baptized for the dead, and why stand they in jeopardy? You see, every hour. If we didn't have this hope, I say, this is not something to motivate the saints. This is talking to the spiritual man. This is spiritual food for the spiritual man. The Lord told Peter, as well as he told, as resonates, it should resonate with any elder, any pastor, is to feed my sheep. This is spiritual food. This is food that's necessary, that if it was not, if the resurrection be not so, then we are most men, most miserable, and our preaching is in vain. But may I submit to you that our preaching is not in vain. Amen. May I submit to you that the resurrection, if Jesus is alive and well, and it's by faith in him that one day we have our hope. And he goes on, he said, I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus, our Lord, I die daily. You see, this is the sacrifice, the obedience that we were singing about earlier, the obedience in Jesus, in our Lord. We have things to do, and it's obedience. If we're going to learn more, if we're going to draw nigh to him, our Lord is not amused by worldly riches. He's not amused by status. He's not amused by anything. But he pleases the Father, and he came to do the Father's will. And he said, if after the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantage it me if the dead rise not? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow is not, we die. You see, that's the heathen answer. Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. I mean, we don't, this is, the, to me again, I reiterate, it's the genesis of all the immorality in our country and in our world, if you will, from the history of man, is that they have not been persuaded or convinced in the resurrection that we one day will be in heaven and immortal glory, that we are joint heirs with Jesus Christ, and that Jesus is the full embodiment of the Godhead, and that we have life after we leave this earth. By the way, we're not wondering or begging for this. This is something that God bestowed upon us because of his great love for us. He loved us, and he loved us with an everlasting love. And sometimes when I'm discussing things with men at work, they have it so close, but they just have to put that, but I got something to do, but I can do this. But the Bible says that the natural man receiveth not the things of God, neither can he know them, for they're spiritually discerned. How can a natural man impart spiritual life? So how can, that just can't happen. And he goes on, he said, but be not deceived. Evil communication corrupts good manner. He said, and that could be a bumper sticker. Evil communication corrupts good manner. That's for sure. He said, awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. But some men will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. You see, and I've heard the analogy of the seed. You know, a seed must die and germicide before it becomes whatever the substance that it's planted to be. The same way of these bodies must go back to the dirt. And our Lord had, this is our Lord's, the same. He gives us a kind of a outline of how this works. And he says, and that which thou sowest not that that body shall be, but bare grain. It may chance a wheat or some other grain. But God give it a body as it had pleased him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh, men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and terrestrial bodies, but the glory of the celestial one and the glory of the terrestrial one is another. There is one glory of the sun and another glory of the moon. You see the beauty of and how God designed things and how God's power is in everything. He said, in another glory of the stars, for one star is different from another. He said, so also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. And now notice, if you will, follow a long way of how, you know, how God, the word, person, I heard death is spoken of as the absence of life. And when a person deceased, I heard death is spoken of as the absence of life. And when a person deceased, And when a person deceased, death is spoken of as the absence of life. And when a person deceased, death is spoken of as the absence of life. And when a person deceased, death is spoken of as the absence of life. And when a person deceased, death is spoken of as the absence of life. And when a person deceased, death is spoken of as the absence of life. And when a person deceased, death is spoken of as the absence of life. And when a person deceased, death is spoken of as the absence of life. And when a person deceased, death is spoken of as the absence of life. And when a person deceased, death is spoken of as the absence of life. And when a person deceased, death is spoken of as the absence of life. And when a person deceased, death is spoken of as the absence of life. And when a person deceased, death is spoken of as the absence of life. And when a person deceased, death is spoken of as the absence of life. And when a person deceased, death is spoken of as the absence of life. And when a person deceased, death is spoken of as the absence of life. And when a person deceased, death is spoken of as the absence of life. And when a person deceased, death is spoken of as the absence of life. And when a person deceased, death is spoken of as the absence of life. And when a person dece individual, these individuals or whatever, it's on in dishonor. But and then he goes on to say, it is raised in glory. This is God. This has to be all by the power of God. The same power that resurrected Jesus from is the same power that's going to resurrect us one day. You know, this is a beautiful thing to know that we are, that our God is 100% on board and his purpose. And it's nothing could thwart him because he's eternal. He's omnipresent. He's omniscient. He's everywhere present, nowhere absent. He's all knowing. Who could thwart God? You know, it puzzles me and boggles my mind when individuals seem to think that God is doing some of what he wants, and then we got to do the rest. God is Lord. He is Lord of all. Anyway, he goes on. He said, it's sown in weakness. It is raised in power. We can't lift a death can't lift a finger. It's sown in weakness. God. Power desires that we one day, that all that the Father foreknew, he predetermined to be conformed to the image of his Son, and all that he predestined, that is the predetermined outcome. He didn't predestinate us to go in here and all willy-nilly and do the things we do and foolishly sinning, but he predetermined our outcome because he's all-powerful. And all that he predetermined, he called. And all that he called, the Father gave Jesus. He would not lose a one. He would not cast out. And he said, and Adam was made a quickening spirit. How be it that was not the Father gave Jesus? He would not lose a one. He would not cast out. And he said, and Adam was made a quickening spirit. How be it that was not first gave Jesus? He would not lose a one. He would not cast out. And he said, and Adam was made a quickening spirit. How be it that was not first Jesus? He would not lose a one. He would not cast out. And he said, and Adam was made a quickening spirit. How be it that was not first which is he would not lose a one. He would not cast out. And he said, and Adam was made a quickening spirit. How be it that was not first, which is spiritual? He would not lose a one. He would not cast out. And he said, and Adam was made a quickening spirit. How be it that was not first, which is spiritual? He would not lose a one. He would not cast out. And he said, and Adam was made a quickening spirit. How be it that was not first, which is spiritual? He would not lose a one. He would not cast out. And he said, and Adam was made a quickening spirit. How be it that was not first which is spiritual, not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. You see, when you think about the natural, you know, when Jacob and Esau, he said, Jacob ever loved, Esau ever hated. When you think about the natural, as I've often said about my natural coming, my natural being, it had, I guess, first reign, but, you know, when you look at the spiritual man and the sovereignty of God, you could have been born again at a young age. You could be born again at any moment. Because when God ceased from creation, the Bible says on the seventh day he rested. I used to, when I was young, under that legalism, I used to think that he actually went to bed. But when I understood that the rest that he rested from natural creation. He's still creating spiritually, even as I speak. Born again, children, it's his sovereign point of time in his mind that he's creating spiritually. He says, but how be it that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. He said the first man is of the earth. You see, the flesh, the first man of the earth. Now, and one thing about us old Baptists, I don't never want us to get caught up to thinking that we are to some way, you know, Paul said we are to mortify the deeds of the flesh. People say, well, y'all to mortify the deeds of the flesh. You talking about mortify the flesh? No, I said the deeds. Mortifying the flesh is suicide, you know. We talking about the deeds, the thoughts, the setting our affections on Jesus Christ, putting our love and our hope in Jesus Christ, accepting by faith that we are in living the way he would have us to live, and being charitable and understanding and loving the brethren. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love what? Love the brethren. So he's saying that we are, he's saying that this man, this flesh man, he's earthy. But and again, he goes on and said, but the second man is of the Lord from heaven. The natural man, the spiritual man, is the inner man that cannot sin. And I know we as Old Baptists grasp this pretty good. I mean, the majority of the ones I'm running understand that we have a dual nature, and that the two are one: against the flesh is weak and the spirit is willing. But we understand that again, that the flesh, everything about the earthly being, the flesh craves it and desires it. And the Bible said we are to put off these things. We are to run this race. We are to mortify the deeds of the flesh. He said, as it is earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as it is heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. You see about the heavenly, I've heard it said, one guy said, you're not mindful of heaven, or you're so heavenly minded that you're not mindful of earth. This is a delicate balance here. What we are saying is that because of the resurrection, because of our hope in the resurrection, we can come to this church and we can come and hear the gospel preached in power, demonstration of spirit and truth, and we can rejoice. We can rejoice, and we can have an understanding, because we are not here to show favor or to be at a social club, but we're here to sing the songs of Zion, to give God his praise, to give God his due respect and love and the show, and it's not only that, but the fellowship of like-minded believers, those that understand this, that there's hope in the resurrection, and pray that the Holy Spirit will visit us, give us comfort, to comfort us and let us know that everything is all right because we are found in Jesus Christ. And he goes on to say, and as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither does corruption inherit incorruption. You see, as Jesus said, a good tree cannot bear forth bad fruit, nor a bad tree can bear forth good fruit. When we understand that Jesus purchased body, soul, and spirit, and it seems like, you know, what he would do with these bodies, you know, I see so much confusion out in the world, you know, when people speak about funerals and death, they speak about, well, cremation, you know, what if a person cremated? Well, Jesus purchased that body, and he has all power, as he spoke Adam in existence, as he spoke. God has all power, and so no matter what becomes of these earthly vessels, they belong to Jesus. And that's what we be able to mindful of that. He said, now, this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot enter the kingdom of God, neither does corruption inherit corruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be all changed. As I said, the Thessalonians said, we should be changed in an instant, in a twinkling of an eye, when the trumpet sound. And ever to be with him in heaven. And he goes on to say, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall raise incorruptible. Isn't this not a beautiful verse to understand that we sown in corruption and we're going to be raised in incorruption? I mean, God, if we just can fathom in our spirit by faith, everything is by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to believe. But we can just grasp these truths that are taught in the gospel. That yes, losing loved ones, suffering hardships are all from the earthy vessel. It's all, it has a purpose, it has a meaning, and it's real. I mean, that's why you see all the monuments and the burial grounds and the great, people love they loved ones. People love their families and everything. And that's real. But I just want to, if the Lord be my sustainer, I just want to convey what the scripture speaks about being raised in incorruption. that our faith in Jesus Christ, that we know he's the resurrection and the life. I mean, what's the point of coming and singing praises to God if we don't understand that he is the resurrection? He said, and we shall be changed, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. No flesh and blood can enter the kingdom of God. This is why we have a new glorified body. This is why I say, when people say, you know, and rightfully so, we always try to take our earthly experiences and kind of get a taste of heaven through them, and try to, and God, sometimes, you know, when Jesus spoke in parables, I do believe that he tried to use earthly situations to try to show us heavenly things. But I just can't fathom the other side of eternity and the glorious that awaits us, the glorious inheritance and co-heirs of Christ. I mean, to have all that God is that all his people, and these are all that he chose in Christ before the foundation of the world. This is before Adam ever sinned. God had a purpose before the foundation of the world. He chose a people out of all nations, kingdoms, and tongues, out of all nations. And as he's told Abraham, more than the dust of the earth, more than the stars of the heaven, or the sand by the seashore. You cannot count these. All the systems that man has devised to populate heaven, all these systems pale. It's fruitless. When we just trust on our Almighty God, we call him God, Lord, and we do so well because he's Lord. And so if we put all our faith in him, and this is kind of like the message I want to convey, that it ain't done in an instant. It's a time thing. It's a praying and studying and reading and meditating. It's a going to God. And as the fifth chapter says in Romans, patient worketh experience, and experience hope. So, you know, tribulation worketh patience. Patience experience, and experience hope. So it's going through. It's a purging, if you will. But at the same time, when we gain this knowledge, they start rising in our heart. And the scales are lifted off our eyes, and we start seeing things. May we have that rest that comes only in Jesus Christ. May we have that peace that comes only by Jesus Christ. He's the Prince of Peace. And so may we understand that he has done things, he has done all things well. And it pleased the Father to bruise him for our sake. And the Father accepted and said, well done, my good and faithful servant. And enter into my rest. So he goes on to say, so when this corrupt shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall we be brought to pass. Now, notice this. This is why I say death is the last enemy. Death is gonna reign on this earth. As long as we have mortal bodies, there's going to be death. Because, you know, from the sin, one man's sin, death passed upon all men. And the law is the strength of sin, you see. The law showed us, man, how exceedingly sinful they are. God's law is perfect. It proceeded from the mouth of God. There's nothing wrong with God's law. But it's those that are under legalism that think that they can obtain to it. That's when they get themselves in trouble. It's by grace you're saved. Everything we do, any victory in Jesus is by grace. It comes to an understanding of he is in our lives, and he has sent us the Holy Spirit. He said many are born of the Spirit or led of the Spirit. We need to trust and go to God and go to the Spirit and to learn and to pray and learn things about our great Savior, Jesus Christ, and how he is our great high priest, eternal priest. He goes on and he says that, so when this corruption have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. And victory in Jesus, as we sang. That's why I love this song so much. It's you know, and amazing grace saved a wretch like me. We're not worthy of not the least of God's mercies. But again, we identify with these people that are taught in the scripture, the elect, the chosen of God. We identify because we have passed from death to life. Why? Because we love the brethren. We manifest fruits of the Spirit, faith, joy, love, peace, temperance, long-suffering, goodness, meekness, the ninefold fruits that spoken of Galatians. You cannot, natural man cannot produce a single fruit of the Spirit. Can't produce no spiritual things. It's not in him. We have to be born of the Spirit. And you have he quickened, as the scripture says, who were dead in trespasses and sin. We were dead in trespasses. So that was a resurrection. And those that that was in that first resurrection will not have a taste of that second resurrection, which is stand before, as they say, the great throne of judgment and be judged for, but we've been judged in Jesus Christ. Amen. And this is, again, where my hope comes from. And I submit, y'all, we all come regular to sing the song of Zion. We come from, a post-war position, but we come in a victorious way, if you will. We humble children, and we by no way are arrogant or saying, and this is what the world says, well, if y'all believe all this, then why y'all do anything? Because we're industrial, because the Lord has told us to be obedient. He has ordained us into good works. He has given us something to do, and he instructs us, and he leads us. So, of course, we're doing works, but not as the world consider works. We can do nothing without Christ, but we can do all things in Christ that strengthen us. And he goes on, and I'm going to bring this to a conclusion. But he said, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? You see, the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. You see, because of one man's sin entered into the world, so death passed upon all men. So all men must face that corporeal death. I mean, there's no getting around it. And we as Old Baptists understand that again. And I think again, like I say, it's the genesis of most of the people's problems. They don't have no hope in the resurrection. I mean, let us eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow is not promised. Is that the anthem? Is that all we have on this side of eternity? I mean, I once heard the word hypocrite is the play act. And that is the play church. We're not playing church. We are coming in because we love our Lord. We love our great Savior, our great Deliverer, our Redeemer. All these terms that's been anointed, Christ, the anointed one. All these wasn't just heaved on him. This is who he is, Jesus Christ. He is Lord. He is Lord of the harvest. He said the fields are white with harvest, but the labels are few. We labor. And we ought to pray that the Lord send labors to the harvest. But we have a great hope and a great affection, if you will, and a great understanding that one day this mortal must put on immortality. And he goes on, he says, but thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the victory is in Jesus Christ, as we sang today, victory in Jesus. All victory is in Jesus. There's no such thing, again, as any spiritual blessings outside of Jesus Christ. I've heard a brother use this analogy one time. He said that if I told you all the money in the bank was in, say, right here in Fort Worth, was in Fort Worth National Bank, and all you needed was 1 cent to get it, could you get it? Everybody said, yeah, I can get it. You know, so I'll reach for the pocket. He said, no, all the money in the bank. So that means that 1 cent is likewise not in your pocket. All spiritual blessings is in Jesus Christ. There's no such thing as outside any blessings outside of Jesus Christ. If the Lord bless our beating today, it's because of grace. It's because he desired to be lifted up. And he goes on. He said, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. In other words, just continue in it. It's one thing I see, like when I'm around a lot of death, or I'm at a funeral home or somewhere, I see the morticians or the people that supposed to motivate us or give us comfort. They try hard, and my hat's off to them, but they can't get it done. You know, the heart needs answers. The heart needs understanding. And the heart can only come from Jesus Christ. That's where we get our understanding from. That's where we get our knowledge. That's where we get our comfort from the God on high. And then he said, therefore, beloved, and the brethren understand, we do everything we can. I think of Job when the confidence came to him as he went through all he suffered through. Did you know that they sit with him like 7 days? Job said not a word. The minute he opened his mouth, they pounced on him. You know, so what I try to do when I comfort people, I wait till they communicate a need. Don't just run to people like I understand. It's impossible to understand. But through Jesus Christ, if we can show them who is the great understander, who's the great teacher, who is the great believer, it is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Go to him. And he said, and he goes on, he said, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, therefore, my beloved brethren. Notice how he, in his wording, how he said, my beloved, my brethren. He's talking to us. He's not talking just to the church of Corinth. This is pristine. This is timeless, if you will. This is bringing confidence in today's church now. This is bringing confidence in our hearts today. He's talking to the beloved. When you look at the Bible's wording, you know, and it's because all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. He called us brethren. He called us kindreds. He called us the beloved. He called, you know, these are family terminologies, if you will. These are family words. This is a closeness. And he said, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmoved. So once you understand that you understand the resurrection, it can't on any wind of doctrine just take us and set us over here and tell us that it's going to be all right and that we have to do something else, that if we're going to see our loved ones, as they try to say. But we know that we are in Christ Jesus. God put us in Christ Jesus. We didn't place ourselves in there. But his great love for us, and underneath are the everlasting arms. He loves us. It's nothing can pluck you or me or anyone else from the love of God. And we're not worthy of the least of his mercies. But praise be to God that he had the people that he chose out of every nation, kingdom, and tongue unto himself. And he gave to the Son before the foundation of the world. And he goes on and said, therefore, he said, be unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. You see, that at work, in the work of the Lord. Man said, you know, that when they levy these charges at us, and they say to the old Baptists, you know, what? I mean, if y'all believe like y'all believe, then you don't have to do nothing. We do, but it's the work of the Lord. He said, faith is the substance of things, hope for the evidence of things not seen. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So for man to sit there and think that he can go to the Lord of glory and just bring and lay his works on his altar, they are all as filthy rags. There's nothing that we can do on our own strength. But God has a work for us. And he goes on to say, in the work of the Lord, he said, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You see, our labor is not in vain. As Paul said, if the resurrection be not so, then we are all most men are most miserable. The preaching is in vain. The singing is in vain. But I submit to you, that's not the way God has designed it. God has saved the people unto himself. And I'm so grateful to be amongst these people that hear spiritual things. If you know, when I first pressed into the visible militant kingdom of God, I used to wonder, how do I know I'm of this great elect that God talks about or that the Bible talks about? He said, do you love the brethren? You know, he just start drawing out some knowledge. Can you understand spiritual things? He said, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Do you have a spirit? If you have any form, a manifestation of the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, temperance, goodness, meekness, if you have a great desire to sing the songs of Zion, to hear, to understand spiritual things, and may I submit to you that you have this great company that God has one day set in heaven and mortal glory, that we will all be with him one day, all forever and ever, and throughout eternity. Thank you for your kind attention.
Number 257.